Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Sports City. So it's already getting crazy in the kitchen already, man. Let me take off this blazer, loosen up the tie, step inside the cookout. Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way, man. Y'all got 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. We already had a little fun time in agreement. We didn't even get to talk our stuff, but it's the cookout, man. So any topic that comes to mind, any caller that calls in, it's all about y'all, man. I'm already feeling some type of way, man. I'm happy to be back in the building. Let's get at it. Sports City, let's go.
What about I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, but they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
Calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the text 910 is locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with success. I got to try and do the best that I can, Sports City, because in this 90-minute window, I'm ravaged on time, so I got to try and do as much as I can with the crew that I got with me here in the building, calling in by way of the state of Virginia. We got Tommy B in the building. Tommy, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. I'm doing good. Just got done finishing and writing some stuff down for the show and getting ready for this postseason baseball. That's going to be crazy good.
Yeah, and he already told me. He told me before the show started, before we got to the green room, for me to be ready. So I get to eat today. That's good. I don't want to do it. Well, of course, I'm a cook, but, you know. I want to cook. I want to eat. You know, I'm a big boy, so I like to consume, too. I like to consume, too. And calling out, by the way, of I was about to say Virginia again. Let me get Virginia off my mind. Calling out of the Georgia region of the United States of America. He's on the road, people. We have Matthew in the building. Mr. Sherwood, how are you doing? Welcome to the cookout.
Guys, I think I'm lit like Julio Jones after he got those 300 yards on Cam the Scam in Carolina.
Oh, wait, hold on. 50% Julio now. Is that 50% Julio or are you 100% now? Because your Browns just let go of a game, okay? What about the...
Yeah, I got to run the Atlanta Falcons. Got to ride them. I'm having a sip of that crown, too.
I know one thing, though. I know Tommy was mad for your Browns, though, about one game that the only game that the Browns played in up against the Redskins in the fumble situation. How about that? Did you see that play? I'll start right there in the cookout just to get the madness started. Did you see that play where Duke Johnson had ran the ball and they stated that he fumbled and he picked the ball up? Did you see that?
No, I did not. I'll let Tommy describe it. I'm sure he witnessed it. I just know that me and Tommy were on the right side of picking the Cleveland Browns. We just, once again, we just keep coming up unlucky with those bastards. I don't know if they're ever going to win. They really might go 0-16, crazy cowpot, whatever his name is, says.
So, I picked the Redskins, right?
Yes.
You sure did.
Okay. I just had to make sure. Hey, Tommy, why you don't answer like that, Tommy? Hey, he get all mad. Okay, now here's the play, Matt. I want to tell you the play. So Tommy woke me up to it because at this point in time, I didn't see this play happen. So
I seen Mama Duke complaining about it, and I asked her what was wrong, and she sent me the video.
So that makes it even worse. So Duke Johnson's mother made everybody aware of the situation. So I didn't see it because I had my eyes on a game in Chicago that didn't pan out well. But anyway, Duke basically had an off-tackle run. He runs for about a good 4 or 5 yards. He gets hit, and he fumbles the ball. He picks the ball up, and he puts it in the air like he has it. The referees look at him, continue to fall through the pile, and say the Redskins had the ball. Meanwhile, Duke is showing them the ball at this given time. So it was very awkward that they actually looked at Duke with the ball and said that the Redskins had the ball, and they clearly looked at the player with the ball in his hand.
Still waiting for an answer. So if anybody knows how or what's going on, please let me know. In Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anything. Hit me up, please.
They are who we thought they were.
No. That has nothing to do with that at all. That has nothing to do with that at all. It's like, look, rest in peace, shout out to Dennis Green. I still haven't even given him his proper send-off when he passed away because I was going through a whole bunch of drama in my life, but shout out to Dennis Green. But you know, I'm saying that like, you know, I'm overlooking him or whatever. But he got up and showed the ref the ball. I don't know what else he needs to do. Like, does he need to hand the ball or what? Like, I agree with Tommy. I didn't have an answer for him. When you get time, please see that highlight. That will be something that you need to see.
100%.
Okay, so it's a cookout, so y'all know what to do. It's anything that comes to mind, we can throw this around. Also, the callers that call in, once again, the call number is 917-889-9592. Tommy, I'll let you set us off first. Any topic, any sport topic that comes to mind that you'd like to discuss?
Yeah, before we get this started, there's some other serious to talk about. Prayers and thoughts to Haiti and all the other surrounding islands, this Hurricane Matthews that's coming in. I don't know if you've been following it like I have. Is serious consequences that come out of this if it takes the path they're talking about for Saturday night's game down to Miami that could postpone this Miami-Florida State game. There is no word yet. They will let people know Thursday when they know more about this path. Hopefully, this Hurricane Matthews goes out east and goes out to the more out to the ocean. That doesn't take the path they think it's going to. Because if they play this, one hell of a storm. They're calling for a bunch of wind and heavy rainfall.
Thank the Lord. Now, Sports City, I'm gonna tell you some stuff about my personal life right now here in Sports City, right? So, I guess after this situation of everybody knowing about that hurricane that's taking place out there in the lower portion of the Atlantic Ocean, Tommy hits me up and sends me a message. He goes, "Ty, I got some bad news about the game Saturday." I'm like, "What is it?" So I'm searching through my phone, right? And I'm looking through every network possible to find out about the hurricane. Because, you know, me and this guy, that's why we're related. That's why he's my brother, because we orange and greened out, you know. And I'm looking everywhere. I'm like, please tell me. Like, I'm thinking it's an injury. I'm thinking something's going wrong. I'm like, ooh, like somebody got fired. Like, please, we on a 4-0 start. Like, what's going on? And it's like, thank the Lord, it's a hurricane. At least nobody's
eligible. Yeah, or you know, the business up in Trailer Taxi are praying this game's canceled. You know what? You better go ahead and take your ass go right up. Because you're telling you, we are going to whoop their ass. They're praying that the hurricane they have to move it to the end of the season.
Please, please, Karma lives next door to me. Please, 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 leave her alone. Please leave that girl alone, man. Well, let me say this woman. I don't even want to call her no girl, man. Let me call that a grown woman, man. I want to leave her alone, man. Okay. I do want to get into this, and we're going to get into that. We do have a caller in queue. I have Mr. Simmons in the building. Welcome to the cookout. Been a long time. Where you been at?
Busy, my dude. Busy, 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 busy. But people know if they want to get in contact with your boy Sears, where to find them. You know what I'm saying? I'm always a hip phone away. But what's up, fellas? How we doing? Tommy Beans. What's up, dog? T.P. Thomas. What's cracking, my dude? I don't know about the clown on the line. What's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, wow.
Very nice greeting.
Is that the Cleveland Brown fan?
I'm Matthew Sherwood. I added you. Hey, we're coming up
anyway,
this week.
Y'all had one job. Beat the Redskins. That's all y'all had to do.
The Foreskins and the Deadskins survived. But look, we're going to go straight into the baseball game. I need a pick for everybody. I'm going Baltimore in the under. It's 8.5, and Baltimore's plus 150. I'm going to keep record on all of them, so just throw them out there. And if you don't like baseball, you don't have to pick.
I'm going Toronto.
Give me an over-under. I'm going Toronto. Their overall season, it was 10-9 Toronto. Their overall record was 10-9 Toronto. What scares me is Baltimore's bullpen is overall better than Toronto's. I still think this place is Toronto's going to be that place in the Sky Dome. I guess that's what it's still called. Is going to be crazy. It's going to hate each other. I think the home crowd gets it done. I'm going Toronto.
So give me an over under, guys. You guys think it's going to be like five? I'm gonna say my score is going to be 5-3 Baltimore. Give me an over under. The over under is 8.5. Just give me a score.
It's 8.5. Is under 8.5 runs?
Jeez, exactly.
Jeez, I'm going over. I'm going with Baltimore. Look, and this is the crazy part. Shout out to my cousin Darren, who was a police chief in the state of Maryland. He just retired 4 years ago. So like, I got to go for my cousin Darren. I know that he was police chief of Maryland. So I'm going to go with the O's. I think Baltimore brings it back down to Maryland. But I think they go over. I think it's over 9 runs today.
So I don't know if it's gonna be that much. I got it being something like four to two, four to three, something like that. I think Toronto gets it done though.
Both of these teams score runs. No problem. Look, there's no problem. I like to be against the panel. No problem. So everybody here is Toronto, right? Everybody's got Toronto.
No.
Everybody's
doing that. Matt said
it's going Baltimore. I'm on the O train, guys. I'm on the O train.
Okay, so me and Matthew went with Baltimore. Okay. Matt, we in this one together, man. We up against the Virginia boys
you know
right now.
That's it.
Tommy, what do you think? Over under in this game? 8.5 runs is the over under.
I'm going like 7-5. Most of these teams hit a lot of home runs, and I don't trust either one of these pitchers. I think this comes down to being a bullpen game.
Okay, well, Matthew already sounds like he's at the baseball game already.
For me, I'm going to mute myself, guys. I'm going to listen and try to comment when I can, but, yeah, I'm at the Georgia League kickball championship. Let me put you on mute, though.
Okay, definitely. So we'll get into the show. Tommy, I know we got this game on slate. Well, I know Matt threw that one out there. I mean, anything else that you'd like to add to this game? I mean, this kicks off the postseason right now for the MLB. A lot of interesting topics going into this postseason as well. I have my own dishes that I have set up for this postseason as well, but I'll let you set it off.
I want to start with something that's very interesting. It's still baseball. It's the awards. I've got numbers and everything, but I really think for the American League since or the American League Cy Young's difficult to pick because it could go either way. The National League Cy Young should be Matt Scherzer, and I'm not showing any favoritism or nothing. He has 20 wins on the year. No other pitcher had 20 wins in the NL. He had 200 that led the National League. He had an ERA under 3.96 that finished second behind Lester. There's two other pitchers that should be, I can see, get it. Lester and the late, great Jose Fernandez.
That's interesting, too. Scherzer is up on the win total. There are names that you could throw around in the National League, but he's running around. Okay, go ahead, Matt. Your thoughts on
it? I'll make mine real quick.
Okay.
That's my guy.
Who did you say?
John Lester for the Chicago Cubbies.
Wow, he took Lester over Scherzer. That's interesting. But Scherzer is
only leading in one category, and that was that's it. He had 19 wins on the season,
and Scherzer had 20. He had him by one win, but his ERA, he has a better ERA than Scherzer.
Well, the odds are the Cubs are going to be the World Series champs before the Washington Nationals.
Slow down.
I'm telling you right now, whoever the Cubs get in the NLDS, they better watch out. The Mets could knock them off.
The goat curse is lifted.
Darius, who do you like for NL Cy Young and AL Cy Young?
Wow. You know what? For the sake of, I like Hendricks. He's not a bad pickup for the NL, for the Chicago Cubs. Obviously, Scherzer, being the guy from, the Washington Nationals. Wow. Jeez. You know what? I know my man over there went with Scherzer, so I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go I'm going Kershaw.
Kershaw's not eligible. Before the season started, ask Tommy the question I asked about Kershaw. Before April came, ask Tommy what I said about Kershaw at the beginning of the season. If he could give us a full season to play, that's all I have. And I'm surprised that the Dodgers were able to do what they did in this season to get back into the NL West to make it, despite him being out and despite them losing Greinke and, not having the full rotation that they had, previously. So the Kershaw situation, and I know Sirius did that to be funny. That's why I started laughing crazy like that. But wait, say that again. I couldn't hear you.
I said the Giants let me down.
Yeah.
The Giants let you down. But they still are in the postseason. The Jags are still in the postseason, though.
If you remember, I had the Dodgers not in this postseason when we did our preview show.
And then after the All-Star break, they must have been drinking too many sangrias or whatever they're drinking out there in the Bay, man, because they started to slow down. But Madison Bumgarner's name is still around. I mean, you can't count out the big lefty. I love this guy.
My man has an ERA of 2.71, you know. So, I mean, actually 226 in the third inning pitch. So, I mean, the man is mowing him down, and he's still doing it for the Giants. So, proud of that guy.
And he don't take no mess. He was about to have a fight the other day, too, so I respect Bumgarner. It's a toss-up between Lester and Scherzer. But me, and not to do this to Tommy and not to kind of follow behind Sirius, I'm partial to John Lester because of his story, man. I would love to see him win a Cy Young, man, just because of what he's gone through. A cancer survivor, you know, and I know so many people that have passed away from cancer. Hell, I just dealt with people that just died this July in my life through cancer. So the John Lester story means more to me than ever. In the AL, at first I thought it was Kluber, but Kluber slowed down. Porcello could throw himself into this one because he definitely got hot. I don't know where Porcello came from, but I'm used to seeing him so much while he was with Detroit. He gets out the Boston and makes a name for himself out there. He's almost in every strong statistical category across the board in the AL. So, I mean, Porcello can be a name that I can throw in there for the AL, but NL makes it tougher for me. I think it's between Scherzer or Lester. Like I said, I'm impartial to Lester, but I don't want to hate on Scherzer by any means. And in the AL, I mean, Porcello has definitely done his work in the AL, especially for where Boston is positioned at now. I mean, every pitcher that was coming up on the bump was getting it done. So I think this was just the icing on the cake for at least somebody else outside of Poppy to get some recognition in that organization.
Well, let me ask you this, Ty. Would you give a closer a sign? Because what Britton has done for Baltimore is ridiculous.
No, I wouldn't. I want to see somebody that comes up there and gives me
talk
more than
people saying you can get it.
I understand, but I want to see a pitcher give me more than two innings a game. Like, of course, he could close the door on him if he's powerful enough and smart enough to know every batter that he's going up against. But a pitcher that has a 4-day rotation to get it done and give you 6 to 7 innings in those games, and looking at Porcello, he was the closest, took 30 to get it done. He's in top 5 in ERA at that, too. I mean, I couldn't walk away from Porcello, especially everything. Watching Porcello get passed away. All the teams that he just left from Detroit, they watched him down the river. They didn't think that he would be able to get it done. He's now atop the AL right now. Atop.
I bet you they wish they had him now.
I'm a disliker. I don't like to call myself a hater. But they're within my division. I don't want to see Detroit do good. Well, in baseball, I don't want to see them do good. In football, I would love to see them do better than what the hell they're doing right now. But in baseball, no. I'm glad that they got rid of all of the pitchers that they had there. Hell, I can't wait for Verlander to start slowing down his damn self. But he's still JV. I still respect JV, even though I don't like him. But they still got him around and Cabrera and Kinsler. So, hey, I'm glad that the door got shut on them now. But I don't want them to, you know, get revitalized moving forward. Okay. So,
moving forward, out of the playoff games, I think tomorrow game, Giants-Mets, is going to be a lot better with the Giants pitching Madison. Syndergaard going for the Mets, that's going to be good.
That is a good game. Sirius, who do you like in that matchup? Mets or Giants, Sirius? Who do you like?
I like the Giants, man. I mean, the Mets really have been playing decent baseball as of late, but, you know, you got my choice for the NL, Cy Young and Bumgarner on the hill. You got one game to win. You know, I'm going with Bumgarner. I just got to.
Matt, are you still there? Who do you like, Mets or Giants? Okay, we might have lost Matt on that one. Tommy, do you want to pick one? Who are you liking that one, the Mets or the Giants?
It's close because Madison, all he's got to do is miss a location here or there, just a little bit, and or someone can take him yard. And that, I mean, if you get either one of these pitchers, maybe a run or two lead, it's done. This goes sound like it's all that's easy to pick. I'm going with the Giants just because it's that. I mean, in every World Series they've won, they've been a wild card. Maybe that's what they like. Maybe they knew that they just fall down. They just don't like West Coast champs. I don't know, but until someone shows me they can be, I'm going with the Giants. So, of course, we know what's going to happen. The Mets will win.
And he kind of stole my thunder, Sports City, because I was trying to come at it in a different direction. Last year, the World Series was won by the Kansas City Royals. The year before that was the San Francisco Giants, right? Right? And then the year before that, it was another team, and then the year before that, it was the Giants. Well, guess what? It is the year for the Giants to try and get back into that World Series saddle. It would be so crazy if the Giants got off to the same type of situation and get right back to the World Series, just like Tommy said about the wild card situation for San Francisco. I was hoping that he wouldn't get to it, but, of course, this dude reads my mind. So, of course, it's crazy. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a San Francisco Giants fan, but I am a diehard Madison Bumgarner fan. As much as I got a lot of family members that live in the area where we're from, and they're diehard Mets fans, and I know that they probably, some of them are listening, they're probably going to give me hell when I get off the air. I got to go with San Francisco, man. I got to. Even though the Mets made the World Series last year, and it's kind of like, deja vu, how the Royals made it 2 years ago, lost and got right back into that thing and won the World Series. This could be the same situation for the New York Mets if they are charged up enough. I just feel like San Francisco is in a situation where they have nothing to lose, and the Mets are the red-hot team. And I think it's more or less a situation where you don't want to face a red-hot team right now. I think everything changes. So right now, it's looking like all three of us are San Francisco'd out on this one. So I hope Tommy isn't right about everybody going with San Francisco and the Mets win, because then we'll all look bad. Also, with him being an NL East guy at that. I don't know if we still have Matt here. If Matt wanted to select, if not, we can actually go across the board and see what we have on slate, at least for some more baseball news that we would like to throw out, or we could get into the deep the depths of things that have gone on throughout the sport world also.
Do you want to pick Friday's game, Nationals-Dodgers, or you just want to wait until after game one? Or you just want to pick game one?
National Dodgers, we could pick game one. We'll pick game one. We could do that. We could do that. I guess I got to save you for last. I'll go first. And you guys are the home team, right?
Yep.
Yes. The first two games are in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And y'all injured like crazy. I'm going with L.A., man. I'm going with L.A.
Only one that we've really got, only ones that are really out are the starting catcher, the Buffalo, Wilson Ramos, with a torn ACL, and Stevens not pitching. Harper's back. All reports are Murphy will be back and healthy, fine. Everybody else is really back. We have nobody else out.
We But even just for, this is just for game one. This is just for game one. Off the rip, I'm going to go with L.A. I think L.A. shakes up the Capitol. I'm going to go there.
So you think Kershaw beats it?
Say that again?
You think Kershaw beats Serger?
Oh, my God, you're pressuring me. Yeah, I'm going to go with Kershaw. Like I said, as much junk, you hear me. As much junk as I be on air talking about Kershaw, what would be fitting if he showed me that he's back or he's ready for this postseason? I don't believe him. I think that he's bullcrapping. But, I'm going to go with L.A. I got to. Serious, who do you like? Do you like the Nationals or do you like the Dodgers?
No, I don't like the Nationals at all. I really don't. I'm going to be real honest with you. I think they're in some serious trouble this series. You know, I mean, let's keep it 100. You know what I'm saying? Yes, they're home. Yes, you know, game one is, you know, marquee matchup. You got ace versus ace, Kershaw, Scherzer. You know, game two, I think they're throwing Tanner Roark in game two. What in the world is going to happen on the road? You know, you got a team, you know, and the Dodgers who doesn't hit left-handed, you know, pitching very well. And the left-handed pitcher for the Nationals who they're throwing in game three, is that Joe Ross? Am I remember correctly?
Gio's pitching.
Gio's pitching in game three. Yeah, and that dude has been – like, honestly, I think the Nationals may get a game. I don't think game one is going to be that game they get, though. I mean, I think Kershaw gets them game one. I think they may go out and, you know, rally the troops and get one game two for Tanner Roark. But, you know, I may have jumped the gun here, but to answer the question, I think Kershaw is that dude. I think Kershaw is that dude.
Okay, Tommy, Are you going with your boys, or are you rolling with the rest of the squad?
Game one scares me because we have not hit Kershaw his whole career. I'm being truthful. We do not hit Kershaw. We have got to get him early and get to that bullpen. Game one scares me. Scares me, and then game three scares me. Because we have no clue, game three, we have no clue what Gio's going to show up. Is it Gio, or is it the bad Gio after he cut his hair? I mean, we don't know. Plus, with the way he's been all emotional after the Fernandez death and all, I mean, you just don't know what Gio we're going to get. I like us in game two. I mean, Roark's been shaky lately. We'll get it. But game one, it scares me. I think I'm going with the Nationals, but it worries me. We have got to get to Kershaw.
It didn't surprise me. I knew he would stay home. I knew he would stay home. This is definitely going to be a class of the Titans. Strong pitcher up against strong pitcher. I at least like Scherzer's story the most out of both of these guys. Kershaw has to prove it to me. If he can get a postseason win, now I know he's done it before, but his postseason record is similar to how Peyton Manning's record looks in the NFL. I'm not impressed. Show me that you can actually get a win up against a strong offense and no less on the road. You're not in Dodger Stadium surrounded by all those light blue walls and the open sky and those palm trees. You are in the four-season weather of the DMV. I want to see if you can come down there and make it happen in the nation's capital. Yes, all eyes are on you, Clayton. And I'm talking junk. That's right. Yeah, I'm talking junk. Get it done. Because if I don't, you know who I'll hear from first? As soon as that game is in, like, the eighth inning? Tommy Beard, text me first thing and let me know.
I'm sure Darius can vouch for it. It's only supposed to be 72 in D.C. on Friday afternoon when the game's played. Anybody that knows, that ballpark plays very, very big. If it's not, if it's over 85, ballpark plays small. Ball flies. Anything under 85 or 70s, forget it. That ball, you've got to literally take a big-ass 2x4 and better eat your spinach like Popeye to hit it out of that ball. I've never seen a ballpark play like that. That it literally depends on the weather and how hot or how cool it is. That's going to play a big part, too.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he speaks the truth there. He really speaks the truth there with the weather and how the ball travels and everything. I mean, and the thing is, I mean, it's a 5 o'clock, you know, first pitch. You know what I'm saying? So one of the biggest stories out here in the D.C. area was the fact that the Metro may not be running late. The first two games are day games. You got to go back at 4 o'clock on Saturday, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, again, depending upon the weather, you know, with the hurricane, everything coming down this way and everything, who knows what happens with that, you know. So, again, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But Tommy was right, you know what I'm saying? You really got to get the Kershaw to rock him. And right now with how the Nationals' bats have looked as of late, and again, Tommy can attest to this, they ain't been swinging the bat well at all, you know, 1-9. And the one constant that they had, you know, is, you know, out with an Achilles injury. So it's unfortunate, but it's going to see what Dusty Baker does, you know, as far as manufacturing runs, you know, and moving batters up, sacrificing, getting some hit and run situations. Another thing that I question about, again, I mean, I'm here in the Metro, so I hear it all day, you know, is how long does Dusty stay with a pitcher? You know what I'm saying? One of the biggest knocks on Dusty Baker this year was that he stayed with Rolock too long when he was getting rocked. He stayed with, especially early on when Strasburg was, you know, pitching. You know, he can't pitch when it's super, super hot outside. You know, his ERA, when the temperature is above 80, it's got to be about 20-some-odd as opposed to what it is when the temperatures are a little cooler, you know. So, but he's decided to stay with his pitcher too long. So what type of moves these managerial decisions make? Because, again, you know, one bad pitch, you know, would turn your season from being a 91 team, you know, going on, and you lost momentum. And that's the thing with these wild card playing games like we're witnessing tonight and tomorrow. One bad inning and all that work that you put into it, it's for naught, because it's very difficult to recover, especially in baseball, from a bad inning, you know. So let's go ahead and see what happens, man. You know, the chess pieces, you know, the chess match between managers, you know, the different type of players that we see. You know, especially here in, you know, watching D.C., you know, you got, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type players, you know, is Bryce going to come back and be the 2015 Bryce, or is he still going to struggle with, you know, with left-handed pitching? Is Trent Murphy going to, you know, reinvent the wheel, so to speak, and come back like he did? You know, as a member of the as the Mets from a season ago, where he just lit the world on, you know, went on a 3-week tear, you know, and hit 7 jacks, you know, in the postseason and got the, you know, the Mets into, you know, the World Series. I mean, there's so many damn question marks. So it's gonna be interesting to see how it all pans out.
Saturday's weather in D.C. 68-90% chance of rain all day long.
Yeah,
hurricane.
That hurricane is coming.
Wow.
And we ain't talking about that whack-ass squad that y'all root for.
Whoa. Matter of fact, I'm glad it's in Kentucky. So I don't have to follow.
I'm glad
it's in Kentucky. So I don't have to follow any rules, regulations, or anything, right? I know you're not talking about somebody's college football team. I know you're not sitting there talking about somebody's team.
I love my squad. I love my squad. But, man, fuck all them damn hot teams. I don't care about them all. That's what I'm saying. That's how I'm carrying it right now.
Real quick, who won the 2001 matchup when you all opened up at stadium? You all thought you all were real quick, and we come in there with the Hurricanes. We told you not to open up stadium against the Hurricanes. We went in there and whooped that ass.
I ain't worried about that.
Ty, they ain't played us since.
I believe me, I understand. Listen. Does Penn State have a win on the season yet?
We got three. We're 3-3.
I think they won their back games.
Who did y'all play? Winchester High?
Yes, probably. Because he got blown out by anybody else he played.
They can't play nobody.
Yeah, blown out by everybody else you play.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait to see when y'all play Michigan.
Michigan beat them. Team.
Oh, y'all already played Michigan. Okay.
Yeah,
good,
we played
good,
Michigan 2 weeks ago.
Because I sure would have got my popcorn ready for that game.
That was a good game. I
don't like that game. 45-14,
45-10. It was
something like that. It was awful. All right, Aaron. Put it this way. If you're talking about a hurricane, right, if Penn State loses to Illinois, you can't talk no junk, okay?
Y'all, you know me better than that. I'm a talk until I'm in the ground.
Wait. You don't know how bad Illinois is right now. Do you know how bad the Fighting Illini is right now? Please tell me.
Dude, I know how bad they is. But you know me. I'm a still talk. Let's go, Aaron Gordon.
Listen, we can put a Sports City football team together and we'll beat the Fighting Illini.
Let me sniff this doing work up there. Let me work out there.
Rex Grossman is his quarterback, okay?
He was winning
ball games
with Rex Grossman as his quarterback.
No, he was winning with that defense balling. Rex Grossman had no impact. It was Devin Hester and Urlacher and company. That's all that was.
Hey, that's a true statement. I'm not discounting that, but he was winning.
Let me get back to this thing called the cookout. Right? Because I like right where it's serious, just jump to, because that was a topic that I brought to the kitchen. I want y'all to tell me, do y'all want me to go NFC or AFC? Tell me, which way do y'all want me to go?
Don't care.
Okay, I'll go NFC first. First and foremost, they are within the same division. So I'm cooking, Sports City. I try to let these dudes cook. I have to cook now. First and foremost, after the loss last night to Minnesota, right, Odell Beckham comes out with a statement and says, they're clapping for my cooking skills. They are clapping for my cooking skills, people. They're clapping.
No, I'm watching this Houston Rocket New York Knicks game.
Okay, no problem. It sounded good. Okay, so here we go. Odell Beckham comes out with a statement and says he is no longer having fun playing football anymore. Wait, whoa. You've only been in the league for 3 seasons, right? He's been in the league for 3 seasons. The past 2 seasons, and I'm not – okay, before I even get into it, let me get serious, Sports City. I got to get focused. Okay. Odell Beckham came into the league from LSU, and everybody was high on him. And all I seen was a little bit out of him out of LSU, because you really don't see LSU pass. But for the play that he was making at LSU, phenomenal, right? He comes there after missing the first four games of his first season and terrorizes the league, but they still finish 6-10. They come into the next season, everybody knows the mystique of what Odell can do. He has speed. He can make all types of catches across the field. He does everything on the route tree as a receiver. He can go short. He can run slants. He can go deep on any corner that want to defend him. He can do it all. The Giants still finish 6-10, right? So now, the Giants actually got out the gate pretty decent the first couple of games, but now they're actually spinning backwards. And now these defenses know what to do with number 13. And I hate to say this, but you play to frustrate them. I didn't think that would be the recipe to stop one of the league's best receivers. I'm not going to take that title away from him. He is still one of the best receivers in the league. I still give him that. I still. Now, you mean to tell me after your third season, you're already having that give up mentality while you're the one that has all of these Instagram or Snapchat and you doing all crazy videos and all of the dances that you're doing, you hit the kicking net and the net hits you in the head and everybody got so much stuff to say about you, Odell. You don't take that as like something to notch under the belt to come after everybody. You are already ready to give up. I don't get it. Is it a situation where you guys think that he is a, I don't want to call him a sore loser, but I can put that out there. I just want to say, do you guys think that he's more or less frustrated, or is his heart just done with the sport of football after three seasons? Or let me just say 2.25, because this is the first quarter. He hasn't even got through the half of the season yet. Sirius, I'll let you set it off.
Wow, you know, man. I mean, here's the deal. I don't know what to think, you know. I mean, yes, you can call him a sore loser. I mean, there's a bunch of other things that we can say to – oh, God, James, don't shake. Oh, James, why you do that? Anyway, I'm sorry. There's several things that you can do that you can say to describe Odell Beckham. I think the number one thing that comes to mind is frustration. You know, I mean, he hasn't gotten the end zone yet, you know, in 4 weeks. You know, everybody's really, you know, making it their mission to get inside his head and – you know, whatever the case may be, he's hearing the reports come out of New York that, you know, he's a hothead, you know, there's the memes that are going around, and, you know, I'm kind of guilty of that myself because I'm throwing some up there myself, and, you know, the Knicks, or not the Knicks, but the Giants organization is having to answer questions about him, and, I mean, I think he's a big hug. I really do. I think he needs to go somewhere, you know, have a cry. And somebody just give him a hug, and he'll be fine. You know, I'll be honest with you. I mean, this dude is too good a talent, you know, arguably one of the top three receivers in this game. You know, the first half of the season didn't go so well. Now that they lost two straight, he doesn't want to play football anymore. I mean, what happened the first 2 weeks when, you know, the New York Giants were 2-0, and, you know, they were, you know, picked on, you know, several radio stations to be the premier team of the NFC because their defense is so stout and, you know, Eli Manning is, you know, picking up where his brother left off and yada, yada, yada. You lose to the Washington Redskins and you get embarrassed on national TV to the, you know, NFC leading, you know, 4-0 Minnesota Vikings. All of a sudden, you don't want to play no more? I mean, come
right.
On, go home, you know, do a dance in the mirror, have a cry, you know, take a tampon out. Whatever you got to do, just play football, dude. Just shut up and play ball.
Do you think he gives it up in, let's just say, the next two seasons? Do you think he gives it up
no.
in two seasons, or is this just a frustration statement? Is this frustration, right?
He's frustration. I mean, again, this is an ebb and flow to sports. You know what I'm saying? I think all of the three of us sitting here has played it. You know, you get frustrated when your team starts losing and you think you can do something to help out and do better. And that's the thing. I got into this conversation with a buddy of mine today. You know, they were saying, well, he was crying on the sideline against the Redskins, which was visibly – I mean, he was visibly crying. He was very frustrated. But at the end of the day, he's a competitor. You know what I'm saying? So if you feel like you can help your team win, and for whatever reason your team doesn't, you know, give you the ball, whether you're playing basketball or throw you the ball, whether you're playing football or whatever the case may be, you're going to be physically frustrated. So, I mean, he's frustrated. He's angry. Again, if they go out and win this week against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday night, all is forgiven, and he's in love with the world again, and it's a wrap.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on Odell. Do you think that this is a frustration statement, or do you think that he is really serious in throwing this statement out? I mean, we've seen, and I don't have any ground to stand on because I watched Calvin. To me, I think retire early too. Do you think that this is a situation that he's frustrated? Do you think this is more or less of a situation that Eli's falling in love with all of the other pieces that he has in the passing game with Shepard and also Cruz being back? Or I mean, your thoughts on it?
Man, there's so much I could say, but I'll keep it G-rated as much as possible.
Say it.
This is because personal life, him and his boyfriend are fighting, and he's taking it out on the field. I don't know if it's because he's such a prima donna, and he's not the leading receiver because of Shepard and Cruz. I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe him and Ramsey needs to go out and everything. Because we all know Ramsey. Yeah, there's just another hole right there. Maybe they need to trade him to Jacksonville. I mean, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Dude needs to do something. I mean, they show him, there's pictures today of him doing hands and twerking while he's upside down. And I mean, all kinds of stuff. I don't know what it is with him, but just something wrong with this dude. Mentally, something. Just saying.
I want to just say one thing to Eli, man, even though I know Eli probably listens, but I'm going to say this. Don't try to get old out of the ball when you're in trouble. Because you know that defense knows that that's where you're going, buddy. Stop having that crazy look that I say remedial. I won't say the word that I want to say. Stop having that remedial look on the sideline like you can't get it figured out and you keep going 3-and-out. And when you face a 3rd-and-6, 3rd-and-8, then everybody in the whole stadium don't know that you're going to number 13. Stop doing that, man. Stop doing that. I know he got home run speed. I'm not going to lie. That's what I like about Odell. That's what I like about Odell. He can hit a home run, not now, but right now. Right now. Look, if he catches that ball in daylight, people are running for a long time. And I think that's what he's waiting for. I think Odell can't wait to see the ball in, like, open space and make a difference. He's not been able to get that shot to make a difference. It's more or less what the Giants have actually turned this offense into is to make him a possession receiver. And it's tough to look at Odell in that light because I'm looking at Odell as, you know, you could give him a cross route and he could go, or a slant and he could go. It's more or less that Eli's feeding the ball to fall to the ground and give himself up. You know what I'm saying? So I understand his frustration. I don't know if it's a situation where he needs to go to another team or not. I don't think that the Giants would be absolutely ridiculous if they let him go. Ridiculous. Because if you do, I think the Detroit Lions can use Odell, not now, but right now. And if not, let me talk to the front office. Please. I'll take Odell right now. Okay, I'm mad people get – listen, I'll take Odell. I'll take him right now. Okay.
I would want him. He's a head case. Because Josh Norman proved that last year. All you got to do is get under his skin, get physical with him, and he will snap. He loses it.
Listen. I want him. You want to know why? He needs somebody to talk to him. Listen, I don't think anybody on the Giants team right now, defense, offense, special teams, they have a bigger personality than Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham, if he wanted to, he could be the emotional leader of that team. He can. Who's going to talk to him? Eli? Jason Pierre-Paul? Collins? Who going to walk over here to calm him down? Everybody on that team let Odell go off and don't nobody come to them, you know, put their arm around them like, chill out, man. Like, play the season of the series or down. You know, nobody. They let Odor go off. Odor be screaming at that team, and nobody responds to him like, all right, let's go. They looking at him like, yo, like he the real deal. Like he's the dude. Like, there's nobody with that presence in front of him to calm him down. Odor has, look, he really has McAdoo, all of them by the balls right now. Excuse my French, yep. Though, so I apologize.
That you think he's going off now? You put him up there in Detroit, and I'm not coming at you when I say this. You do know who your quarterback is, right?
Of course. But look,
then you're going to really see Odell crazy.
He's going to let Odell make a play. He's going to let Odell make a play. That's all Stafford want to do. That's what Stafford did in court. Stafford would be behind the line of scrimmage waiting to throw the bomb. He can't because he don't have that option no more. He'd be waiting to throw that. He'd be waiting. That's what Odell wants. That's what Odell wants. Hey, look. Fair enough. I like this. That's what the cookout's all about, to get these dishes cooking. So I got one more NFC, then I'm going to go at AFC. I'm going to go AFC after this. I think I got two more NFC. But, okay. First, I know we talked about this far too much, but I had this discussion today, and I want to see how these guys feel in the kitchen today. So, as we see, the Dallas Cowboys, because, right, I'm sitting here in the same division, so I got to talk about them. The Dallas Cowboys are actually playing better football as of now, as Dak is getting better as time goes on. And still, until this day, as of week four, Dak has not thrown an interception yet. They are already rushing Tony Romo to get back. They are expecting Romo to try and get back by week 8 or week 9. If Dak is still doing the type of job that he's doing, let's just say Dak loses another one or two games. If he loses another one or two games, right, around week 8, they're 5-3. Do they sit Dak Prescott for Tony Romo, or do they keep Dak running the show and let Tony throw up the gang signs on the sideline? I want to see how you guys feel about that one. Tommy, I'll let you set it off.
Well, we've talked about this, and I'm not changing it. I think you keep Dak in there, personally. What has he done to lose it? Like, seriously, nothing. I'd keep him in there, and I know you're paying all. I know Jerry's paying all this money to Romo and everything else. But why would you take him out, put Romo in there? Say Romo gets hurt. It's a good possibility, very good possibility. And then you bring Prescott back in there, and he doesn't have the same magic that he's got. Then what do? You ride the hot hand. It's just me.
Sirius, your thoughts? I think this is starting to become the talk around the league right now, or at least to the people that I know that are stating that Romo will end up being the guy regardless. And this is starting to build up more and more, where I agree with Tommy. I'm not getting away from Dak. I don't even want to be this dangerous in saying this. I don't think there's ever been a four-game stretch where Romo has not thrown an interception in four straight games. This is a rookie. Doing this type of work. I don't know. I mean, if you feel different, if you feel like Romo should run the show, or should Dak run it until he starts to look questionable, until Romo's ready?
Well, here's the thing. I am on the fence with this situation for a couple reasons. I do think that I do think that Dak Prescott should remain the quarterback when Romo is healthy. Okay. However, I will say this. Dak Prescott knew what he was getting himself into when he took the reins of starting quarterback. Okay? So I do believe that the Dallas Cowboys owe Tony Romo their due diligence by, you know, inserting him into a lineup and seeing what he has left. But, again, that's what I said, I'm torn. Dak Prescott is balling. You know, you got a team that's sitting at 3-1 right now, really in the thick of things, not only in the division but in the conference. You already have a road win versus a divisional opponent in the Washington Redskins, which is, you know, whatever. But, you know, you got great chemistry with all your other receivers, not just 88. You know what I'm saying? You're spreading the ball to Cole Beasley. You're spreading the ball to Terrence Williams. You're spreading the ball to Jason Witten. You're sticking the ball into the gut of your rookie and Ezekiel Elliott. You're sticking the ball in the gut of, you know, a disgruntled former Redskin and Alfred Morris. You know, you're going through the checks. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're running. You're sliding. You're protecting yourself. These are all the things that, you know, we see, you know, from seasoned veterans. You know, this type of stuff you see Tom Brady doing. This type of stuff you see, you know, Aaron Rodgers doing. This type of stuff you see Ben Roethlisberger doing. I mean, the veterans who have been in this league and have won something. And, you know, when you talk about the Mount Rushmore of the NFL quarterback, you know, these are the type of things that you look for and that you see. And this cat is doing this in year one. You know, if I'm Jerry Jones, if I'm Jason Garrett, I really got to sit down and look at things and take a hard look in the mirror and be like, yo, I love Nine. Nine has been good to us. You know, Nine has gotten us, you know, to where he can take us to. But at what point do you protect Nine from Nine? Well, at what point do you protect Tony Romo from himself? You know, and only Jason Garrett makes that question. If I'm Jason Garrett, I'm leaving Dak in there. But, you know, that's a question that only they can answer. This isn't the same as, you know, a Le'Veon Bell coming back for D'Angelo Williams off of suspension. This isn't the same, you know, as, you know, another situation, you know, Josh Gordon, you know, situation where he was slated to come back, you know, after, you know, somebody was in his position. I mean, this is a quarterback who has exceeded expectation and has gotten the Dallas Cowboys team to off to an impressive first quarter of the year. You got to leave that man in the ballgame.
This is the one thing that I fear about this situation. And I say this analytically. I'm not saying this personally because I can care less personally how the things pan out for the Cowboys. But here it goes. Picture Dak doing well by week 8, 6-2, or however the record pans out. I don't even want to put a limit on where Dak's ceiling is, right? They put Romo in, and then Romo starts to slip, and then they go, well, they should have left Dak in. They should have left Dak starting. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is the trigger that you guys are pulling. This is the trigger that you guys pulled 3 years ago when you gave him $100+ million on the contract. This is what y'all did. I'm not buying it. I'm not looking at a 36-year-old quarterback that has had multiple breaks, fractures, separations. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? Separated shoulders, broken collarbones, fractured vertebrae. What? Are you listening to the injury list? Are you listening to the injury list that has put him out for seasons? For seasons.
Hey, by the way, Batista just hit a jack.
That ball was spotted.
That ball was gone.
They're going to score in that game. They are going to score. 8.5 is the over-under. I feel like that 9 is comfortable. I feel like that 9
dude,
is comfortable.
That was like that was like fourth row upper deck.
Okay, They're cutting me off for some more food out there. So let me get away from this Dak talk. Okay. So I do have one more NFC. I'll come back to the NFC if I need to. I'm gonna go AFC. It is interesting, and I love that. I love Sports City. This is what I love about Sports City, people. This is what I love, right? Because I have a Steeler and a Raven fan at the same time on the air, right? Both of them of which are tied at the top of the division, right? Am I right or wrong? It's inside, right? Who is the team to beat in the AFC? Is it still the Broncos, who are undefeated right now, right? Or is it the Patriots? Is it the Ravens? Is it the Steelers? You have to worry about a couple of teams that sit at 3-1 outside of what the Broncos are doing right now. Or is it the Ric Flair syndrome? To be the man, you got to beat the man. I don't know where to go because both of them are here right now. You know what, Sirius, I'll let you start it off first.
You know, honestly, man, nobody, honestly, outside of Pittsburgh, has been able to figure out that Denver Bronco defense, man. I mean, the boys seem to be able to roll anybody out there and offensively, and they just don't make mistakes. You know, Trevor Siemian, you know, is undefeated. You know, this guy is slinging it around. He gets hurt, you know, so, hell, they bring in Paxton Lynch, you know, another rookie, you know, and he just keeps the train going. As much as I want to say Pittsburgh, you know, in order to beat the man, you got to beat the man. This is an undefeated ball club right now. There's really no, you know, no chinks in the armor. I got to go Denver. I really got to go Denver.
Okay, Tommy, how about you? I mean, finally, I got serious to fall away from the Steelers in a debate where they were included. Who do you like as a team to beat in a very hot AFC?
I mean, I go serious, Denver, but I don't even know if they're the best team in their division. After what I watched with Oakland, they have the offense, and if the defense can play like they did, if Cleo Mack can come off the edge, if Bean can come off that other edge and they can keep playing like they did. I mean, giving up my Ravens offense for some reason, offensive line and the left corner, I guess you could call it, is awful. Hopefully we can go out and find a corner or some more offensive line. But, I mean, New England is still kind of scary too. I mean, they get Brady back. I mean, I still go with Denver, with Oakland's out there possibly, and you still can't count out Belichick.
This is very tough, people, because we don't even know what the hell the Patriots look like with Brady. We don't know. Look. Let me tell you about Belichick, right? Belichick has been doing everything in his power to make sure Gronkowski don't do too much without Tom. Like, go ahead and go give us, like, 6 plays and just chill for the game. We all right. We'll lose one of the games in the fourth. Like, let me wink at the rest of the NFL. Wink, wink. We'll lose to the Buffalo Bills at home. Wink. And then we'll get shut out. They look like punks. Like, wink, wink. I'll keep winking at you. Yeah, right. Like, they really are going to get shut out to Buffalo. If that was the Super Bowl, they'd have blew the crap out of Buffalo. I don't care who was quarterbacking. So I'm not even buying or measuring that. They also get Rene Minkovich back as well. So that's a whole nother situation. Now, the Ravens are playing interesting ball. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to give you some more credit here in Sports City, Tommy, and Ravens people alike, but I don't really feel like I'm giving the Ravens and Tommy credit here. He's been this man for a while for me. My favorite receiver in the league. Steve Smith still has it in the tank, people. Whoever thinks that dude is old or some 5'9" punk, go get him. Go get him. I mean, if you feel you're tough, go single cover him. Go ahead. You think you're tough. Go ahead. Think you're tough because they can't do that, boy. Look, I don't care, man. I don't care. Steve Smith, he still got it, man. He still got it. I hate to do this to Tommy. If that defense had some secondary presence, something to show, like is a corner that's not playing around on both of those sides, or a safety that's picking dudes off consistently. I know they missed the hell out of every. I know they missed the young air, but if they had that, they'd be phenomenal defensively. So, You got to worry about them.
I mean, we have to go after Tom Hardy. He's out there now since Indy got rid of him.
Hold on. I didn't do anything to you while you were doing your thing. And leave Cromartie alone. That was my goodie bag. Okay, that's my goodie bag. Okay. How do I do this with Denver? They're getting it done with youngsters at the quarterback. I don't feel like counting them out like this, but I feel like one of these youngsters, whoever it may be, whether it's Lynch or Simeon, I think one of them may falter around the way. However, this may go down. Or if they get close or into, postseason play, things could happen strangely because they weren't, primed for this situation. They could end up managing this as well as possible and trying to defend their title. I don't want to count them out. I don't want them to make this bulletin board material over my behalf, right? But I do not like Aaron Simmons for a reason. Because this is my little brother, for real. And every team that I like, he likes to pick on them for a reason. But, I let him finish his laughter. But that punch that Jessica gave him last week, and he knows who Jessica is. Shout out to Jess. That's my sister-in-law. Shout out. If y'all don't know who she is, that's my sister-in-law. But that punch that Jessica and her boys gave Sirius and his boys in the face just last week, if y'all don't think that woke the Pittsburgh Steelers up something terrible, y'all better wake up and realize what's going on with Pittsburgh. They got all their pieces back together. They got Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo in the backfield together. I started thinking about it. I said, that looks so scary. Okay, let me calm down. What are linebackers going to do, right? When both of them are on the field at the same time, right? Right? And you got Antonio on the outside. Y'all got to try to double team somebody. Y'all got to do something. And y'all more or less worried about Le'Veon coming out of that backfield, at least moving the chains. And if not, Antonio can hurt y'all. And D'Angelo running like he's back in his mid-20s. And he's my age, 33, 34, 35. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and he's still moving the chains, right? While all of that is going on, right? All of that is going on. Y'all forgetting about his quarterback, man. Y'all forgetting about the quarterback. Big Ben, who started all of this elite conversation. Now, of course, you got the best quarterback in the league. I want somebody to argue, even though I felt different when Brissett and Garoppolo were winning games. But Tom Brady's still the best until somebody proved to me that they can put a resume together that Tom put together. I know a lot of people like, oh, Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is great. Don't make it sound like I'm shortchanging Aaron Rodgers. I don't want people to make it seem like I'm short. Aaron Rodgers is not a Tom Brady. He can scramble. He can make every throw on the field, but it's just something about Rodgers that he falters in the postseason or something, and I don't even want to call him Peyton Manning because I feel like his presence on the field, to me, is stronger than Peyton Manning, to be honest. Even though Peyton had all those audibles that he caught so on and so forth, there's just something about Aaron Rodgers that don't click. But right now, with that beatdown that they took in the brotherly love city, it's going to be a strong team that's going to have to knock Pittsburgh off right now. I think Pittsburgh getting beat like that is the awakening call that they need for the remainder of the season. This kind of reminds me of the Super Bowl season of the New England Patriots when they lost that second week of the season to Kansas City. I think it was like 44-7. I still remember that game because Brady looked terrible. Gronk didn't look like he wanted to play football. All of them looked terrible. Y'all know who won the damn Super Bowl? The New England Patriots. And I had to eat like 10 bowls of crow because that was me 2 years before that saying I don't think Brady will win another Super Bowl. They lost that game and did not look back. Started punishing everybody in the AFC. It may be you got to beat the man. You got to beat the man to beat the man. However that situation go down, Denver holds the crown right now. But Pittsburgh is in their rear view. Rest in peace, shout out to Shardy Lowe. Screaming, hello, hello. I'm trying to tell you. Watch out for Pittsburgh, though. But there is some strong teams. And shout out to Tommy and Pat. The Raiders call that they had. So the Raiders are balling. And all the Raiders had to do was play that ball in the back of the end zone. We've been talking a whole other situation on them doing their thing. But Crabtree, right place, right time. David Carr getting it done, but that's just one game. That's just one game. I think it is at the top of the list in the AFC. That is a hell of a conversation. That is a hell of a conversation. But it's Bill or Pittsburgh right now, and I want to see what Brady looks like. Even though I know what he possesses, he may end up losing his first game. But they play Cleveland. I'll save my pick on that until Sunday. I'll chill. I won't jinx. Please leave me. Leave me alone. I want no parts of you. I don't want no parts. But they play Cleveland on Sunday. I don't care where they are, but we'll see how that pans out. Okay. Any topics that you guys would like to get to? I do have one more NFC before we start to close things up. We do have 15 minutes left, but I do want to at least get one more topic out if you guys have another topic that you would like to allude to.
Yeah. There's a story coming out of Miami that they are talking to Chicago to trade for Jay Cutler.
I've got a question.
Why in the hell would you want to go from what you've got to even worse or to the same? Really?
Look. I'm gonna keep it real, Sports City. And I don't care if people feel a certain way about what I'm gonna say. Call it if you wanna talk to me. 917-889-9592. That'll be a good move.
I'm about to defriend you off Facebook. You are not allowed to put on a chef's hat and come in this building ever again, sir.
Listen. Serious. They are not going to get anywhere with Tannehill. I don't care what people tell me. They already wasted $100 million on Tannehill.
Let me ask you this question. Okay, they ain't getting nowhere with Tannehill, so you going to bring in Cutler? Like, they ain't going to do much better? That's like saying, you know what? I have a problem with alcohol, but I'm going to work at an ABC store.
That was a very good joke. But
I bet you this much: when that story came out, Chicago fans lined up at Jake to help the pack his ass.
I know. If both getting $100 million, that's like a trade for a trade to let Hoyer run the show. Like, at least I feel good if Hoyer break down Tannehill here and Tannehill might do something. But I'm not looking at Tannehill to be the future here and. To be honest, I think that's what's missing from the Dolphins, a quarterback with an arm. Like, they don't need a quarterback that's ready to run. Tannehill's ready to run, and he doesn't scramble like that. Tannehill's a former receiver, and y'all gave him $100 million. Hold on. At the quarterback position, y'all got – they gave him $100 million, and he's not making all these throws across the field. He has Landry and company, and they are barely getting it done offensively. The Dolphins, I challenge you to tell me this. When have the Dolphins scored over 24 points this season? When?
Let me give you a follow-up question to that. When's the last time the Miami Dolphins gave us less than 5 sacks a game?
Well, if the offensive line gave up less than 5 sacks?
Yeah, the last time the offensive line gave up less than 5 sacks a game.
That's true.
I mean, again, we can sit here and crucify Tannehill, you know, until we're blue in the face. But, I mean, let's keep it 100. It doesn't matter if you're Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, you know, if you're always looking up at the stadium light, you ain't making no throws, period. You know, now when the throws are there to be made, he's not making them. You know, we can crucify him for that. But that offensive line is pitiful, dog. That offensive line is pitiful.
I know an offensive line that's worse than them. Do you know which one is worse?
What, Detroit?
Chicago. Chicago. Oh, don't even get me started on them. Please don't.
can you get me on the Chargers? This turn, some bitches blew another one. They had a point lead on the with what 3 minutes left, and they found a way to lose it. But to chalk another team up, I will not take the win again.
The Chargers.
I'm done. Yeah. I will not give them bitches to ever win another game.
Look, I feel
bad. 3:40 left in a 14-point game, and you find a way to lose a game.
They were just look, and this is bad for me because on my fantasy team, I got Melvin Gordon. Melvin fumbled first, and then my Hurricane brother Travis Benjamin fumbled the next possession and put them right back in position to lose the game. Like, I feel bad for the Chargers. But here goes some sorry offensive lines that you could think about. Chicago has a bad offensive line. That's what I was comparing Miami to. So I feel like it'd be either home sweet home or a breath of fresh air for Cutler, too, which a lot of people around the NFL are not talking about this at all. I don't know why people aren't talking about it. And I really feel like I don't have the soapbox to stand on because Detroit is having their own issues. How about the Indianapolis Colts? How about
we need to get on them, too.
Oh, believe me, I want to. How about every time that Andrew Luck drops back, it looks like steak in a piranha tank. That defensive line, it don't matter who they're playing. Costanzo and all them guys up front cannot block. If y'all see how big Costanzo look like he could block anybody that steps in front of him. He's like 6'6", 315, and jack. And he can't block nobody. Nobody. Look, that pocket collapsed. That pocket don't even look like a pocket. It look like, you know, the little pocket to your jeans where you put, like, change in. You know, like, that's what the hell the Colts offensive line looks like. Exactly. I feel bad for Andrew Luck. I don't have no problems with the Colts right now. I mean, when Peyton was there, I felt the same way just because I didn't like Peyton Manning. But I feel bad for Andrew Luck. I know what Andrew Luck possesses. It's like every time he dropped back, he always got to step up into the pocket and try and make a throw. Or try and scramble, or they trip him up from behind. That's happening to him every play. That's happening to him every play.
Yeah. Let's do this before we get out of here. We finished the first 4 weeks of the season. Biggest disappointment of the year. Go.
Oh, God. You called me numb, too. I swear. I wasn't ready. Biggest disappointment of the year. I'm not going to lie. The New Orleans Saints, I would not think that they would be winless at this point in time.
They got to win to beat San Diego.
Oh, that's right. Okay. They just clipped them. Okay, so they just got off this night. They just got off this night. But they got lucky. They got lucky for them two fumbles. Okay. So they're 1-3. There's a lot of 1-3s there, too. Jesus,
I'm
across the board.
Carolina Panthers.
We got rid of Josh Norman, though, so it's like a given. And it's interesting because Sirius had put that meme up, and I don't even think it was like a meme for Sirius to be funny. I think it's the truth. Josh Norman said, "You get what you pay for." And this is the crazy part, because I got Carolina defense. They can score the ball. Like Carolina defense will get a fumble and score, they'll get an interception and score. They still do that, but they're still giving up over 30 points a game. It's like, what the hell is going on? Like, really? Luke Kuechly, one of my favorite linebackers in the league. You dominated the league last year. Where are you right now? Thomas Davis, you're back with him. Both of y'all in the middle of that linebacker core. Where are you two right now? Where the hell are you two? Matter of fact, when you guys get off the field on that side, y'all should throw your helmets around that side and pump people up. Or tell people to get off the damn field. So how does Carolina's defense look like that just because Josh left? I know he's a big piece of that puzzle, but come on.
I can break that down for you real easy. They're not generating any type of pressure from the defensive front. Like, you can run on them. Hell, Atlanta had, between Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, actually, them mother flippers had 500 yards. Matty Ice was 500 yards. You ain't getting no type of pressure. None. And that's just in week one. Did you see what Minnesota did to him 2 weeks ago? Minnesota went in there and sacked Cam Newton 20 million times. I mean, they even still having flashbacks.
He said 20 million times.
Jesus. 20 million times.
Wow. And to go with that, y'all already risked Cam getting a concussion. Cam got a concussion, so we're going to see how that pans out.
That was his fault. That was his fault.
Somebody need to block for him, man.
That was his fault. My man pulled up on a 2-foot guard like he was just going to waltz into the end zone like he wasn't playing the NFL, like he wasn't going to get hit. Like, that's his fault. Yeah, they need to block for him, but that injury could have been avoided. That was RG3-esque.
Okay, so your biggest disappointment, wait, Tommy, you said Carolina or Siri? You said Carolina. Who said Carolina?
Tommy said Carolina.
Okay, who's your biggest disappointment on the you're
going
with them?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
I was thinking them too.
I'm going with Jacksonville. This is a team that everybody expected to come out of the gate swinging. They're going to be in the playoffs and blah, blah, blah. This offense is all world. These Bammers chuck. Like, you get into a dog fight week one with Green Bay. Okay, you lose to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, yada, yada, yada. Jordy Nelson comes back. You get blown out. Like, you got the break beat off you by a San Diego Chargers team the very next week. What? What am I making? San Diego. You mean that team that just gave up a 10-point lead with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter to New Orleans Saints? That San Diego team? The San Diego team that's quarterbacked by one of the biggest bums in the NFL? That San Diego team? What? Come again? I'm sorry, Jacksonville. You are the Bammers of the week. Week.
Okay, look. Here we go. I got a couple of names. So I don't know how I feel about the Saints because they did come back over them two fumbles that seriously talking about with the Chargers. If they didn't have those two fumbles, they'd have lost. Then, how about Arizona? The Cardinals are looking disappointing right now. The Cardinals are a disappointing team right now. Then, since he's my brother, since he's on air, since he made me look foolish, like for the past 2 or 3 weeks, because he's been right about this same individual that I'm about to talk about. I know he's smiling ear from ear because I'm about to say this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You mean to tell me, Jameis, that you cannot get this done? That your first pass of the game was an interception? First out of the gate. You said hype, you just threw a pick. You threw a pick first out of the gate. Like, what's going on? You got BJ and Evans sitting on the outside. I wish Stafford had two receivers on the outside that was 6'4 or better. V-Jack 6'4, Evans 6'5. I would love it. I would love it. I'd be like this. Coach, fly out. I don't care who comes out with it. Look, I got to beat them. I got to beat both of them.
I tell you what. They go out Thursday night and get the brick beat off them by a Carson Palmer-less, no running back-less Arizona Cardinals team. These guys are going to be looking for new jobs next week.
Who, Tampa? You think it's a wrap?
They better go out there and show like some type of fight. Like these past two games, they done got. I don't even know what to call it, bro. Like they just rolled the red carpet out. Like, yo, here's the end zone. Matt Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston are turning the ball over like it's like they put some pancakes at McDonald's. Like, here's a pancake. These guys are terrible, dog.
I'm glad you threw that out there. What about the Jets? I'm glad you said Fitzpatrick. He threw 9 interceptions in 2 weeks.
I'm serious. What the hell does Fitzpatrick have to do for Geno to play?
You
can't do any work.
I don't know if he's auditioning right now. I'm not going to speak ill will of the Jets. We do play them this weekend, and Ty and I go way back.
The Steelers
and the Jets do not fare well with each other. I'm not bringing that karma to my
outfielder for Houston out from that game? My brother, Artie Bird gets his first interception for a touchdown.
They've been picking on him. I don't like this. I don't like that. They've been picking on Artie.
I'll be honest with you. I posted this today. Artie's been playing exceptionally well. There's a few things that he needs to clean up. First of all, he missed way too many tackles that Philly game. And he missed tackles this past week. So if he cleans up his tackling and gets his head around, he'll be a decent ball player. But, yeah, they're picking on him. And he's a rookie. I would pick on him, too.
There's a lot of disappointing teams. I don't know where to start, man. This is you know what? I got to carry this into another show, man. We are at the tail end of the show right here. This is great stuff. Sirius has made my damn night, though. I love him. As much as we go out, that statement right there might have turned me around, man. It might have turned me around. I don't know the history of Sports City. I really got to go find that show. I really do. You know what? Shout out to Cooper Harrison. Coop the comedian doing his thing out there. If y'all don't know, man, now y'all know, man. I got to find that show. That's epic stuff. I never heard this dude so mad in my life. If y'all hear how he be. Sirius be so cool, calm, collected, have jokes for days. If y'all want to hear a mad chef in the kitchen, it was the 2010 matchup, Steelers versus Jets. I got to find that show. Sirius came on the air so mad, I swear, he's about to be Ray Lewis in Atlanta. Shout out to Ray. I love you to death. Okay, I need a blog. Shout out. Anything that you guys like that from my... No, it's not, Roy. Ray, I love you, Ray. I love you to death. I got your jersey, Ray. Don't come for me. I love you, man. All right, I need a plug, closeout, shout out, anything that you guys would like to promote. Sirius, you did it, man. Look, one more time. Okay. Let's go.
Yo, man, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412-703, man. Such a pleasure to be here in the building with you guys this evening. Yo, real talk, man. I'm sitting here watching this Houston Rockets game, man. I like what I'm seeing. I know it's preseason. I know. It don't mean anything, but James Hart running that one seems like he's doing pretty well. Good to see Josh McDaniels out there doing some things, and I'm kind of getting an idea for what the chemistry could be. I like the name to pick up. We'll talk basketball a little bit later, man. Again, shout out to everybody who came on the show, man. Keep downloading us, keep getting them numbers up. It's your boy Sirius, man. I'm gone.
Oh, yeah, that basketball show will be coming soon. Stay tuned. It will be here before the start of this season. I am on the works for that to get back up. Watch out for the crossover, Catherine. Tommy, you already know what to do. Plug, close out, shout out, shut it down here at the cookout.
Yeah, good show. Glad to hear Sirius voice come back. Trombone just homer for the Orioles. Orioles up 2-1. Still a long ways to go. I still look for at least another three or four more home runs in this game. I'm glad. I love this time of the year, postseason play. Hockey's getting ready to come on. Yes. Thank you, NHL, for what you did for my first game. You think you want to piss off a team? You just pissed off them Caps. You go open the season. You go have them open the season in Pittsburgh when they raise that Stanley Cup trophy and that flag. Good. Thank you.
4City7.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chef. 4City, I'm happy to get my boys back in the building. I'm feeling some type of way. The cookout was great. You already know what to do. Get back in here, man. We got shows all week long, man. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What a thought, I'd be caught in this life. Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing next to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.